Good mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, just in time for National Teen Driver Safety Week, a new resource to help parents impress upon their kids and remind themselves about the importance of staying focused behind the wheel. Also this morning, what can artificial intelligence do for small business? At a time when one in five startups don't make it past the first year and half will fail within 5 years, could AI be the secret weapon to avoiding that fate? And to your health this morning, Friday was World Menopause Day. It's a natural fact of life for every woman, so why is it a topic people are often so hesitant to talk about? This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Monday, October 21st, 2024. Spooky season kicking into high gear. And this is kind of interesting, a new report on the most haunted states in America. What they did is they analyzed the number of ghost sightings and haunted locations. Reportedly haunted locations. Ohio has 4 haunted places per 100,000 people. The density of haunted places and a little over 25 reported ghost sightings for every 100,000 people. So that's the benchmark. That's where Ohio is, the most haunted state in America. And you might be surprised about this. I know I was. Wyoming, apparently, the most haunted state, 13 haunted places and 37 ghost sightings per 100,000 people. Now, that may have something to do with the fact that the population in Wyoming is much smaller. So every haunted place, every ghost sighting carries a little bit more weight because of the smaller population. I would have guessed like Massachusetts. When I think of haunted places, I think of Massachusetts, Salem, and, you know, all of the colonial history there dating back to that time period. I would have thought, if not Massachusetts, at least someplace on the East Coast where they have a much greater history. But no, Wyoming, they say the most haunted state, 13 haunted places, 37 ghost sightings per 100,000 people. North Dakota is actually in second place. South Dakota comes in third. The least haunted, and I mention Ohio's 4 haunted places, 25 reported ghost sightings per 100,000 people, just for reference. The least haunted state, apparently, the ghosts want to avoid Florida. 7.9 ghost sightings for every 100,000 residents. So Florida is the least haunted state. So Ohio, on that list, much closer to the top than the bottom. So just kind of interesting. There, by the way, speaking of ranking places, I saw this recent survey, which is kind of interesting. If you have a trip coming up for the holiday season ahead, before you know it, we'll be traveling for the holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, etc. A recent survey ranks the most welcoming city in the U.S., Savannah, Georgia. Certainly not a surprise necessarily. I don't know that I would have guessed Savannah, but not necessarily a surprise because, you know, people in the South, very welcoming. Savannah, Georgia, the most welcoming. So the South dominated the top 5. Jackson, Mississippi was in second, followed by Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Port St. Lucie, Florida, and Richmond, Virginia. Other notable cities where people are very welcoming: Buffalo, New York, ranked 12th, Waco, Texas, 15th, North Las Vegas, Nevada, ranked 35th. Not Las Vegas, North Las Vegas, Nevada, ranked 35th. So just kind of interesting, some of the more welcoming places in the U.S. Share that. Since we're on the topic of lists. By the way, speaking of Halloween and, the scary season, this is kind of scary, and it is the latest. It says here in the reports, the latest viral TikTok trend, but I have actually heard of this in years past. Apparently, it's coming back again, so it bears repeating. This Halloween hack gone wrong. People apparently gluing fake fangs on their teeth with nail glue. You know, the glue that they use to glue the fake fingernails on your nails. Well, maybe you don't do that. I don't know whether you do or not. But, you know, people who use the fake fingernails, and they use nail glue to attach those fake fingernails to your actual fingernails. People getting the brilliant idea to use that nail glue to attach fake fangs to their teeth. And it is not a good idea. According to one dentist, Dr. Julie Davis, she posts on like Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, all of this. She's like the TikTok dentist. So anyway, she says, if you do this or you know somebody who does this, not realizing how dangerous it can be, you need to get a hold of a dentist for the safe removal of those fake fangs. I said, do not use nail glue. It not only will it not come off, it is actually poisonous if ingested orally. So there's a reason they use it on your fingernails and not on your teeth. If you actually want to attach fake fangs to your teeth for Halloween, use denture glue. Denture glue to use those acrylic fangs and attach those on to your teeth. That's safe, and it is easy to take off. They also say that orthodontic wax is an alternative. It won't stay on very long, but long enough for you to take pictures and all of that. So anyway, just a word of caution there, because that apparently is coming back. I've heard of that in years past, and I thought, you know, hopefully we spread the word and people realize that that's dangerous. They shouldn't do that. But apparently some people are not so quick to learn. So we'll just put it that way. Don't do that. Speaking of the holiday season right around the corner. After we get through Halloween, it'll be full steam ahead to Thanksgiving and, yes, even Christmas. Walmart is reintroducing their inflation-free meal deal through the holiday season. It offers 29 items, including turkey, all the sides, and dessert to serve 8 people at a cost of less than $7 per person. $7 per person for 8 people. And so you do the math there, and it's like, $54, something like that. The inflation-free meal deal, it is apparently a price that is similar to, I don't know how many years ago, but anyway, they've taken the price from years gone by and reinstituted it for the holiday. The offer will run through December 24th, so it will be good for not only Thanksgiving, but Christmas as well. Items are listed on the link walmart.com/Thanksgiving. And let's see here. Meals can be gifted. You can get them for yourself, or you can gift them to friends or family, or even donate them to the Salvation Army, which is kind of nice for the holiday season. But the inflation-free meal deal at Walmart for the holiday season is back. And speaking of the holiday meal, this may be the biggest news of the day. The absolute biggest and best news story of the day that you absolutely have to know about this morning, with the holiday right around the corner. Butterball is cutting out the thawing process entirely for your Thanksgiving turkey. Forget about having to thaw it. The biggest manufacturer of the holiday staple, Butterball, has unveiled their Cook From Frozen premium whole turkey. Cook From Frozen. Butterball says the bird can go straight into the oven from the freezer. And they say it is pre-seasoned and brined so that it can go from frozen to fantastic without having to plan days in advance for thawing out the bird and dealing with all of the messiness of the giblets and, you know, all of that. You know, what do you do with the neck of the turkey and all of that? And you don't have to worry about touching raw meat. So you just go from frozen to fantastic. Now, they do note a couple of things. Obviously, if you're going to deep fry your turkey, you don't want it to be frozen. That would be a very bad thing. So we're talking about frozen to fantastic in the oven, the traditional oven-cooked turkey. And the cook from frozen turkey cannot be stuffed because of food safety risks. So the stuffing has to be made separately. But they say that you really shouldn't do the stuffing inside the bird anyway because it's not particularly safe in terms of food safety protocols and all of that. You should be making your stuffing separately anyway. But so you can't stuff it. But other than that, you talk about taking some of the hassle out of Thanksgiving dinner. That is the best news ever. Frozen turkey straight into the oven. You're welcome, America. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Monday morning started here.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather. Plenty of sunshine expected again today with a high pushing 80. Mostly clear tonight, low in the upper 40s. The Hancock County Sheriff's Office says a fatal crash happened Saturday afternoon at the intersection of County Roads 109 and 18 in Cass Township. The Sheriff's Office said a 20-year-old was driving a Chevy SUV westbound on County Road 109 when he failed to stop at the stop sign at County Road 18 and collided with a Honda CR-V that was going north on County Road 18. The Chevy overturned and came to rest in the field, and the Honda came to rest northwest of the intersection. The sheriff's office says the driver of the Chevy SUV was pronounced deceased at the scene, and the driver of the Honda was taken to Blanchard Valley Hospital for his injuries. The sheriff's office also said two passengers in the Chevy SUV were taken to hospitals with unknown injuries. The crash remains under investigation. Voting rights advocates are speaking out after the Ohio Supreme Court voted to uphold the Secretary of State's controversial changes regarding who can use ballot drop boxes.
Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRosa's directive made it so anyone dropping off a ballot for someone else has to do so in person inside the elections office. Voting advocates say this negatively affects specific groups.
Particularly elderly voters, voters who might have issues coming out to the polls on Election Day.
In a statement, LaRosa says he is grateful for the Supreme Court decision, which he believes helps protect the integrity of Ohio's elections.
ONN's Isabel Lawrence reporting early voting is underway. Election Day is on November 5th. Two wildly popular events that people both young and old look forward to each year are happening this week in Findlay. That's a marching band performing Thriller from the Cops and Kids Findlay Halloween Parade from last year. The parade this year is on Tuesday, kicking off at 7 p.m. And then Findlay's Trick or Treat will be held on Saturday from 6 to 8 p.m. Get more details on both in this story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online anytime at WFIN.com.
Well, we all know, or we should know by now, that distracted driving is incredibly dangerous, but it remains alarmingly common, especially, although not exclusively, among young drivers. More than 3,300 Americans are killed each year by distracted driving, and just in time for National Teen Driver Safety Week, the Governor's Highway Safety Association and State Farm have partnered to create a new website to help parents impress upon kids the importance of staying focused behind the wheel. We are are joined this morning by Pam Shadle Fisher, Senior Director at the Governor's Highway Safety Association and a national expert on teen driving, and Laurel Straub, Assistant Vice President at State Farm. And we mentioned that statistic of 3,300 fatalities each year from distracted driving. Would it be fair to say that there are likely even more than that, where distracted driving would be a contributing factor?
Absolutely, Chris. We are quite certain that those numbers are lower than what's actually happening. So we're seeing, you know, the 3,300 deaths are reported as with distracted driving as the cause. We're pretty confident that there's a number of other fatalities that are happening that are not being reported.
Yeah.
And in addition to the 3,300 deaths, we're seeing over 280,000 injuries, probably, again, more than that, that are happening on America's roadways every year as a result of distraction.
Yeah, well, I was going to mention that, too. Even if it doesn't result in a fatality, there are plenty of other undesirable consequences, accidents, even just citations, you know, and that kind of thing, that it all adds up.
It all adds up. You know, the injuries and fatalities are definitely, I think, our biggest concern. But we also see, you know, over 5 million vehicles are damaged as a result of this. So that adds, you know, frustration for people when their car is taken out of commission, they can't get to work, you have trouble getting the kids to school while that car is being repaired. And all of it ends up costing, you know, those of us here in the U.S., over $100 billion in ultimate economic costs from distracted
driving. That's the other thing. You think insurance costs are high already. Just wait until you've got an accident or a citation on your record, especially when we're talking about teen drivers, and just watch what that does to your costs. What will it take to change? Because again, we see this all the time on the roads, even though we should know better. What will it take to change that?
Yeah, it's really going to take a huge cultural shift, Chris, and that's not something easy to do, but we know it's possible. We've seen that with, you know, thinking about seatbelt use in our country and drunk driving. Those are two things that the public will say over and over again. They're socially unacceptable, and people take action to avoid doing those kinds of things, or take action, you know, in this case, to buckle your seatbelt.
Yeah.
We believe we can accomplish this by really raising the next generation that really views distraction on the road as completely unacceptable, not just something that happens out there. But it's really going to take parents, guardians, caregivers, those folks who are working with kids, not just teens, but at that very earliest stage, toddlers and tweens, really working with kids to help them understand why it's so important to stay focused, avoid distraction, whether they're walking, biking, scooting, and eventually driving, and modeling those behaviors. I think that's the critical thing, and that's the focus of our partnership between GHSA and State Farm, is working with families to give them resources and tips to help them model this behavior and help develop this next generation of distraction-free road users.
It's interesting you correlate that to seatbelt use. And I remember when those laws first started being passed, there was some pushback from people. Why is this such a big deal? Again, now it's just kind of the norm. This is a bit of a different animal, though, because we are so addicted and our lives are so connected to these digital devices that are in so many cases the cause of distracted driving.
Absolutely. And the challenge is, you know, we to your point, we're all connected to them. It's how we get our information. It's how we stay in touch with our family. We're all kind of auto-wired. When a text comes in, you want to check and make sure it's not from a kid who needs something. But the fact remains, human beings, we might think we're really good at multitasking, but the fact is we're not. And in trying to manage a vehicle on the road, driving at, you know, relatively high speeds in some cases, in traffic with other drivers around, and then looking away and trying to manage that text or send that quick email at the same time, we think we can do it, fact remains, we're really not very good at doing those multitasking activities.
Yeah, multitasking is one thing if you're at your at the office in your cubicle and trying to do two or three things at once. Very different thing when one of those tasks is driving. So let's talk a little bit about this this new website. We mentioned you've got this website you're launching. It is aimed at raising that new generation of distraction-free road users. What can it help parents and caregivers do?
Yeah, it's generationdistractionfree.org, and it's in English and Spanish, and it's really designed to give families and, as I said, caregivers and others tips, resources, tools they can use to have those conversations, ongoing conversations with their toddlers, tweens, and teens about distraction, and also how parents and others can model safe behavior. So I'll give you an example. For parents who have younger children in car seats, you know, when you're buckling up your child, talking about why you're doing this. And then also talking about the fact that I'm not only buckling up in you in your car seat, but I'm going to put my seatbelt on and I'm going to put my cell phone out of reach and I'm going to turn it off because I need to stay 100% focused on the road. So we're all safe, that you're safe. That's my job. And as kids get a little older, you know, setting some ground rules about behaviors, whether they're walking, biking, or in cars, and reinforcing those behaviors and having those conversations on a regular basis. And then working with your teen once they are getting ready to start driving or they are driving, to review your state's driving laws and set what I like to call higher family standards. Those laws have what we call minimum standards, but setting higher standards that focus on distraction as well as other issues. And that's including not only cell phones and texting and speaking on phones and using it for music, which many teens do, but also other teens in the car. They are also a huge form of distraction. So the website has those kinds of things, but it also has resources parents can download. There's a Spot the Distraction game for young kids when they're riding in the car, and then you can sit down as a family and talk about what they saw. There's a pledge. Take the pledge as a family, put it up on the fridge, and hold each other accountable. And also a parent-teen driving agreement that you can use once your teen is behind the wheel that sets the boundaries, that sets the rules, that and you hold the teens accountable to those rules. But again, I go back to it. The number one thing is for parents to continue to talk about these issues, but also model that behavior, which we reinforce repeatedly on the generationdistractionfree.org website.
And again, just to underscore what you were saying earlier, as we mentioned at the outset, teen drivers are kind of the target audience that we're talking about here. But it begins even before that, well before kids reach driving age, and also for us as adults. We've all seen adults who should know better who are driving distracted, and perhaps we even ourselves have been guilty of it from time to time. So there are lessons here for all. Mention one more time the website where folks can get these resources.
It's generationdistractionfree.org.
Again, just in time for National Teen Driver Safety Week, Pam Shadle-Fisher, Senior Director at the Governor's Highway Safety Association and a national expert on teen driving, and Laurel Straub, Assistant Vice President at State Farm. Ladies, thank you both for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Chris. Thanks, Chris.
Well, of course, as we know, small businesses are the backbone of the American economy, and yet 20% will close within the first year, half will fail within the first 5 years. But could AI be the secret weapon in stacking the odds in your favor? Joining us now to discuss is Adam Nathan, CEO of Blaze, which is a platform that leverages artificial intelligence as a marketing tool, which we'll get to here in just a moment. But Adam, first of all, talk about some of the challenges that small businesses in America face in 2024. Why such a huge failure rate?
Yeah, well, I was inspired to start Blaze by watching my own parents, who are small business owners, struggle to get online and build their website, attract followers on social media, send out emails to their customers. At first, I thought, you know, this stuff is so easy. But the reality is for a lot of small business owners is that it's not easy at all. Small business owners are very passionate about what they do. They wear multiple hats every day. But what they're often not is professional marketers. But great marketing is what really makes the difference between a small business thriving and failing. As you said, 20% of small businesses die within the first year. 94% of their websites get no organic traffic, meaning they're not ranking on SEO. 97% of their ads are unprofitable. And what AI really helps these small businesses do is level the playing field and get a way to win on their own by generating content that can attract more traffic and customers and ultimately sales.
So this platform that you have developed, Blaze, helps small businesses do that. How?
Yeah, so imagine Blaze as having 24/7 access to the very best social, brand, and SEO marketers around, all working for you and your business. And to make this more real for your listeners, we had a customer I spoke to just recently in Florida who went from 200 followers on TikTok to 2,700 followers in just 1 month. I spoke to a customer the other day in Ohio, based in Westlake, Samantha, who runs a business called Wine and Whiskey, and she uses Blaze to generate all sorts of content for her social media, email, blogs, so that she can spend more time talking and serving actual customers. I also spoke to a customer last week who took his wife on vacation for the first time in 14 years because of all the time Blaze has given them back. Overall, across the world, we've saved customers over 110,000 hours so far this year, which is equivalent to $5 million in savings for the little guy.
So is this by virtue of just kind of turning over your social media, your website, your email marketing, all of that kind of thing to an AI chatbot?
It's a little bit more complicated than that. If you go to Blaze, the first thing that we ask for is your website. And we can use your website or your Instagram or Facebook handles to essentially create what we call a brand voice and style for you. What we do is analyze your existing content or your writing. And even if you don't have a website yet, you can just give us like a blurb that you've written up about your business or a product description. And we can analyze that for your voice and your tone. We can also pull your colors and fonts and photo vibes and logo from your website or your social media so that all the content that we generate for you is hyper-personalized to your look and feel. And Blaze generates over 100 types of content, everything from social media, posts to emails to landing pages to customer service replies. And the coolest part about Blaze is that you can schedule up to a month's worth of content. And so you can basically set it and forget it and get back to things that matter to you.
And this can be leveraged to grow a business, to expand a business. I mean, again, there are different levels of this depending on what your goals are, right?
Exactly. Our mission is to help small businesses grow faster on the internet. And the reality about AI is that AI is not going to take your job, but another business that knows how to use AI is going to take your customers. In this day and age, as you said, in 2024, there's really no way to stay competitive without using AI. And that's true for large and small businesses. But what's really cool about small businesses is that AI gives you the ability to do more than you can today, to generate more content, to find more customers, to sell more products, without needing to hire extra staff or pay money for an agency or extra tools. And so it really gives you the ability to basically have a marketing team without needing any extra people at all.
Now, the timing on this, that we're talking about this, is kind of important here because the holiday season is right around the corner. Busy time for many small businesses, particularly those with a retail component to them. What kind of resources can help them prepare for those busy holidays?
Yeah, well, Black Friday coming up is like the Super Bowl for small businesses. Last year, consumers spent over $70 billion in e-commerce sales over that weekend. But all that volume is often overwhelming for small businesses. And I've talked to a lot of folks that are unprepared for this year's holidays or maybe procrastinated a little bit. So what we've done at Blaze is build a special Black Friday toolkit with holiday-specific tools to create social media content, holiday emails, ads, product descriptions, even customer service replies. And for our first 100 customers who use those tools, they'll get access to an exclusive webinar with top e-commerce experts to help them prepare for the holidays.
What about, as you mentioned at the outset, admittedly, most small business owners, entrepreneurs, are not marketing experts. Many of them are not experts in all things technology. And for many, I would imagine, AI is almost a frightening kind of proposition. Artificial intelligence, it's still very new. Not everybody knows what it is. Does, how it works, what it's capable of. What do you say to those who are unsure about turning over such an important part of their business to essentially a computer?
Well, first, I would say that in terms of data safety and security, at Blaze, we've made a commitment that all of our models are not trained at all on your data. So your specific information stays private and safe to you. And so nothing confidential to your business, nothing about your customers or your products or services is shared outside your workspace. It's all private and confidential. So there's really no safety concerns when it comes to the AI that we use at Blaze. But for a lot of our customers, the alternative they have to using Blaze is not doing anything at all.
Yeah.
Most customers I speak to weren't doing anything in terms of writing blogs before. They were struggling to find time to post on social media. And even the work, the marketing that they were doing was pretty bad by their own admission. So the great thing about Blaze is that it helps you do a lot more and often better than you could do on your own. And just to give you a personal example, I use Blaze to do my own marketing here at Blaze. If you look at our website, all that copy is written by Blaze. The emails that you'll get welcoming you to our product are written by Blaze. And I'm often surprised, even though I am a professional marketer, about how good Blaze's content is. It certainly is better than what I could do on my own, and it does it in a fraction of the time. And so it's really a game changer for all types of businesses.
And again, as you were alluding to, the one thing that we do know by this point is that not doing anything is certainly not an effective strategy. Again, Adam Nathan is the CEO of Blaze, platform that leverages artificial intelligence as a marketing tool for small businesses. And where do we get more information on this?
Yeah, everything I mentioned more is available at blaze.ai/Black Friday.
Adam, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
So, we begin with a story that's fairly local, Northwest Ohio. Sometimes, like we say, you don't have to go very far to find the broken news. And this out of Defiance, where a scary incident unfolded last week. Officials say a man was cleaning out his brother's attic when he discovered a live hand grenade among some leftover military items. The Northwest Ohio Bomb Squad responded to the scene and safely removed the grenade from the home without incident. But I saw this, and it, doesn't it seem like there have been a rather unusually large number of stories in the broken news of late of people with live ordnance in their homes or in their backyards? Or didn't we just have the story about somebody who had like an anti-aircraft missile buried in their backyard or something they came across? What is it with all of these people who have live explosives, military grade explosives in their homes? What is this? What's going on here? Man, that's just... Maybe I should go through my all of the old things I've got, you know, stored in the garage and the storage shed and the attic and the basement, and just make sure don't have any live grenades or rocket launchers or anything. This is crazy. Elsewhere in the broken news, authorities in Florida. Always got to be a story out of Florida, and it's usually pretty weird. This one is that. Authorities in Florida are on the lookout for an inmate who escaped after faking chest pain. They got him taken to a Miami hospital on Saturday. Miami-Dade police say 36-year-old Theodric Collins was initially arrested for some out-of-state warrants. It's not that he necessarily did anything in Florida, but they discovered he had warrants in another state, so they placed him under arrest. And then he faked some chest pain. He was taken to Jackson Memorial Hospital, and that is when Mr. Collins, still handcuffed, fled the scene. And if you're going to escape custody, you're going to do it in style, right? He took off in a silver Maserati that was outside the hospital. Made off in a silver Maserati. First of all, if you've got a Maserati, I don't know whose Maserati it was, but if you've got a Maserati at the hospital or really parked anywhere, don't leave the keys inside. What are you thinking? You'd think if you're smart enough to be well-to-do enough to own a Maserati, you'd be smart enough to take the keys with you. But anyway, Mr. Collins, still handcuffed, fled in a waiting silver Maserati. The vehicle was later detected in Jupiter by a license plate reader. Multi-agency search for Mr. Collins is ongoing. They found the car. They didn't find him. The Maserati. That's the way to make a getaway. Speaking of cars in the news, in the broken news, police in Seattle got a little bit more than they bargained for when they spotted a man sitting in a parked car that was turned out to be stolen. As they approached the vehicle, they found the man with some stolen merchandise, comic books and basketball cards he had in the car. So not just stolen car, but stolen merchandise as well. But aside from all of that, it was the cocaine, methamphetamine, and fentanyl found in the vehicle that didn't help the man's chances of talking his way out of the situation. The driver claimed he borrowed the car from a friend, but it didn't fly. He is now facing charges of possession of narcotics with intent to sell and possession of a stolen vehicle. Police are also apparently looking for the owner of the comic books and the baseball cards that they found on his person in the car as well. All right. Let's see. And a couple of other items here from the broken news. A homeowner in Beacon, New York, is probably regretting the solution that he came up with for his bee problem. Had a bee problem. And the Beacon Fire Department had to be dispatched to his residence after the homeowner attempted to get rid of the bee's nest on his porch by setting it aflame. And it was on his porch, so you know what happened next. He set the bee's nest on fire, and it caught his porch roof on fire at the same time. The Beacon Fire Department responded. Castle Point and Fishkill Fire Departments provided mutual aid about 10 minutes later as a second alarm was sounded. No one was injured in the blaze, but he has got some explaining to do to his insurance company. But did it kill the bees? That's what I want to know. Did it kill the bees? Was he at least successful in that? I don't know. Story does not say. And finally, in the broken news this morning, in recognition of Halloween season, this is a perfect story. Out of Poland, where a funeral home has issued an apology after a dead body fell out of a hearse on the roadway, on the highway. The deceased ended up in traffic in the middle of the city. The event resulted in one driver actually believing he had accidentally run somebody over. The Hades Funeral Service. What a name, first of all. For a funeral home. Hades Funeral Service. The funeral home took responsibility for the incident, citing a technical failure. This was the statement the company posted on its website. During the transport of the body of the deceased, an unfortunate event occurred, which does not reflect the high standards of our company and our deep sympathy toward the families of the deceased. And the respect we always show to the deceased. So, fell out of the back of the hearse into the highway. Somebody thought they had run over the body. My goodness. Now, that's not good. But definitely keeping in the theme of the season. There you go. That is today's Broken News Report, an update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
Join WFIN for live coverage of the 2024 Cops and Kids Finley Halloween Parade, presented by Lone Depot. Our broadcast begins Tuesday night at 7.
Parade coverage on WFIN presented by Visit Findlay and brought to you in part by Wolfie's, Fort Findlay FOP Lodge, Logan's Irish Pub, and T.R. Williams Insurance.
The Halloween Parade is live on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. We mentioned before that this is National Teen Driver Safety Week, and the fact that sometimes we grown-ups need a refresher course on driver safety as well. In a new survey of 2,000 drivers, just 40% believe, and these were adult drivers, just 40% believe that they remember and follow all of the safety precautions that they learned when they first started to drive. Only 40% still follow all of those safety precautions today. And a quarter of Americans are unsure if they would pass the written part of the driver's exam if they had to take it today. Now, this survey actually went deeper into vehicle maintenance. And when we talk about vehicle safety and driver safety, obviously driving a safe vehicle is important. 43% of those in the survey admit that there is a dashboard warning light on in their car, at least one. Now, 78% said that they know what that warning light is trying to tell them. However, maybe not. Says here, 79% were able to correctly identify the oil pressure warning light. 64% could identify the check engine light, which is one of the common culprits. Just half of those surveyed were able to correctly name the temperature warning light. And 47%, this is when we get into the less than half, 47% were able to pick out the tire pressure warning light. Let's see here. And then even fewer when you get into some of the more rare but more serious lights. When it comes to the brake system warning light, only 16% correctly identified that. 40% said that they admitted that they weren't sure. Only 22% got the transmission temperature warning light correct, and 23% confused it with the engine temperature warning light. So those can kind of be confusing, and I suppose that is rather understandable. But yeah, that's pretty disturbing that very few people actually know what all of those lights mean, considering that nearly half have at least one lit up on their car right away. Some statistics when it comes to routine car maintenance, 43% say that when a warning light pops up, they don't know what it's for. They'll check the car manual. 59% of men admit doing some level of car maintenance on their own. 56% say cost prevents them from keeping up with their car. Now, the reason why you've got light on in their car, warning light on, that you're not addressing, more than likely it has to do with cost. And on average, across all ages in the survey, respondents will wait 5 days after a warning light comes on before dealing with it. Gen Z and millennials waiting slightly longer, about a week, about 7 days before they get around to addressing the issue. Or even in some cases, just figuring out what the issue is might even be longer before they actually address the issue. Just kind of interesting. When it comes to safe driving, it's about not just what we do behind the wheel, but the vehicle that we drive, making sure that it's safe as well. Something to think about there. To your health this morning, I'm not sure why we think of this as a sensitive topic necessarily. It is certainly a universal experience for women. We're talking about menopause. It impacts millions of women, and yet it is often misunderstood, probably because we don't talk about it enough. And joining us this morning is gynecologist Dr. Alyssa Dweck. She is chief medical officer at Bonafide Health. And what are some of the common misconceptions or misperceptions regarding menopause that you encounter?
Yeah, so actually, there are so many misconceptions about menopause, not the least of which is the very definition. So Bonafide actually conducted a survey, a state of menopause survey, and found that 7 out of 10 women were still unclear about the actual definition of menopause, which, as you mentioned, is a universal experience.
Yeah.
So just to be clear, the definition of menopause, 12 months without menstruation after the age of 40 is considered menopause. And don't forget that there are years that lead up to this day called perimenopause. And this can last, 4 to 8 to 10 years and also may be ridden with some symptoms. The average age of menopause in the U.S. is 51. So those perimenopausal symptoms can occur for quite some time beforehand and often take people off guard. They don't know really what's going on and there can be a little disconnect.
Is that one of the reasons why there's so much confusion about this, because it is a little bit different for everybody? Like we said, this is a universal experience. All women will go through this, but especially in those years leading up to it, it could be any number of, it can manifest in any number of ways. It can last for varying number of years. There's an awful lot of moving parts on this.
You're absolutely right. But consider some of the symptoms and the day-to-day impact that women can sustain.
Yeah.
So some women find that their symptoms are just a minor nuisance. Others really find that their disruption to their day-to-day life is incredible and not in a good way.
Yeah.
Symptoms might include, hot flashes and night sweats. Of course, those are the iconic symptoms. Disrupted sleep, not only the duration of sleep, but the quality of sleep. And then, of course, you have downstream effects like irritability, other mood changes, grogginess during the day, mental fog, weight change. So, it really impacts women in so many different ways. Their work may be interrupted in terms of productivity, and even their relationships might be impacted because of some of these symptoms, including intimacy. So I think these are important things to bring to people's minds.
I was going to ask you to expand on that a little bit, too, because, again, what we typically think of the menopausal symptoms are the night sweats and that kind of thing, as it disrupts sleep. But as you were saying, this can have an impact on day-to-day life in any number of ways.
Absolutely. And I feel that the vaginal changes are the ones that may be still a little bit taboo to speak about. Mm-hmm. So I will just get right into it.
Okay.
Low estrogen, okay? So low estrogen of menopause leads to less blood flow to the intimate tissue, and that causes dryness and irritation and discomfort during intimacy. And some people feel uncomfortable just day to day because the tissues feel different. So really, these are symptoms that we need to discuss. And luckily, we have management tools for that.
So that's the next question, then. What kind of treatment options are available to help women navigate all of this?
Yeah. So first and foremost, education. If women have an inkling of what's going on, that their hormones are changing, they can be a little bit more proactive with their health and management options. Lifestyle matters. So we speak about healthful diet, particularly the Mediterranean diet, exercise regularly, sleep hygiene and stress reduction. But, hormone therapy is available. It's considered the somewhat gold standard treatment for menopause symptoms, but it really isn't for everybody, especially for people with perhaps estrogen-sensitive cancers like breast cancer. We have other drug options that are available with a prescription. Of course, you need to visit a physician to obtain these. And Bonafide just launched an over-the-counter, no prescription needed supplement called Thermella, really derived from 3 naturally sourced ingredients. And this has been studied extensively. In fact, our clinical research was presented at the recent Menopause Society annual meeting and accepted with a lot of excitement. And this helps with hot flashes and night sweats as quick as 2 weeks. So, you know, we can really offer some pretty immediate relief for people who are suffering with these symptoms.
Bottom line, the message really is that, number one, this is universal, something that affects all women. So it shouldn't be sort of those things that we talk about in hushed tones.
Exactly.
Nothing to be embarrassed about. And questions, you really should talk with your physician about the best options that are out there. Because, again, there are a lot of different scenarios the way this can the course that this could take.
You are absolutely right. And again, I want to stress the word proactive, because I think women can traverse this transition with a lot less suffering if they confide in their healthcare providers and also speak directly to their family and friends so that people know what's going on and management tools can be brought in.
Again, gynecologist Dr. Alyssa Dweck is Chief Medical Officer at Bonafide Health. And where do we get more information?
Please visit hellobonafide.com. This is our website, chock full of valid and credible and vetted information about menopause and perimenopause, but also about our products and the clinical studies to support them.
Dr. Dweck, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. Our thanks to all of our guests for joining us on the program, of course. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage, and that is goodmornings.net. Coming up tomorrow on the program, Blanchard Valley Health System, marking 5 years of their partnership with the renowned Mayo Clinic. We'll talk about the impact of that partnership on the care patients receive. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.